That is the company that is moving us to the front and has made us a priority to stop the flooding. I just want you to know that God has moved you to the front and made you a priority as well. And that's something that you need to take deep down inside yourself. Everything that has happened this morning so far has not been scripted, but it is all part of the message that I'm preaching today. And so I love it when the Holy Ghost shows up and kind of just takes charge of service like that. Because, you know, I heard it said this way. We always talk about our natural and a supernatural God. And I heard it this way just today, a matter of fact. It said we need to quit calling God supernatural and all of the things that happen to us that are out of the norm, as you will. We need to quit calling it supernatural and realize that that is really just our natural. Yeah. It's just our natural way of life and our natural way of living, because we live with Christ in us. And because we live with Christ in us, we are no longer the same that we used to be. So when we have reports that there's cancer, did you guys know that there's no cancer in heaven? Did you know that there is no cancer or rheumatoid arthritis in heaven? Did you realize that? And did you realize that heaven's on earth? Did you realize that you house heaven inside you? What are you laughing at? Cheesy. Yes, it is. But did you realize that you are a normal part of God's supernatural creation? That every aspect of you is by design perfect. Every part of you, there is no accident. And every single thing that happens to you that is outside of the will of God can be bound in the name of Jesus Christ and forbidden. Amen. Who's ever in here felt like they've hit a wall? You ever, it's just kind of like, even maybe right now, you just feel like you've hit a wall. Maybe you've hit a wall in your relationship or your walk with God. Maybe you've hit a wall in your workplace. Maybe you've hit a wall in your health or whatever aspect it may be, but you feel like I just can't go any further. It's just kind of stagnant. So here's another prophetic release for you, is that God is saying that when you hit a wall like that, He's saying that you need to go to the next level. You just need to level up. The prophetic word is that you're not at a place where you're stuck. You just need to go to the next level. The title of today's message is Growing in Christ, Next Level. You see, we've been talking about growing up as Christians. We've been talking about what it means to be a Christian and what it means to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and how we get more mature in these things. But I think, you know, we're just scratching the surface, because we are so much more than just words on paper. We are so much more. We are so much more than the Holy Bible itself, for we are God's very special creation that actually has part of God living in them. That means that we have all authority over creation itself, because the Creator God has given us that authority back. And when we start as believers exercising the true authority that we have as Christians, then all of a sudden 17 tumors in the brain are gone that were no longer there. Then all of a sudden you start to hear miracles ring out throughout the congregation, those that believe, as evidence for those that don't believe, so that they'll know that there is a creation, a creator out there that is making his creation line up with what he wants, and that's perfection. There's a revelation question that Jesus Christ asked his believers, his disciples, early on. And this is in Matthew 16, 13 through 19, and that's what I'm going to be reading out of today. And so, like good stewards, as Pastor Weldon has challenged, who brought their Bible with them today? All right, I see a few, yes. Like a whole bunch. Anybody bring ink pen, pencil, highlighters? Excellent. Because I'm going to challenge you to go ahead and write in your Bible. It's an okay thing to do. I would write in it. I would underline it. I would circle it, highlight it, fold the corners over, whatever it is you need to do in order to get to know that, man, this spot right here was very, very special. And there's a reason why I was looking at that before. Because, you know, Sometimes you just read through and it doesn't really ring, and then other times you read through and it does. But when you start to write in there and make little notes, then it's like, oh my gosh, that's why it meant that. So we're reading in Matthew 16. And again, this is starting at verse 13 going to 19, revelation question. And I'm just going to read through it, and then we'll try to break it down a little bit. And I'm reading out of King James Version. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, and we are talking red letters here, okay? And he's saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, we'll stop there for a second. Go ahead and underline Son of Man. And then we go on, verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? So he asked the disciples specifically. And kind of, you need to ask yourself that right now also. Okay? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Think about that. Just keep that in your thought right now. Who do you say? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen? And that is what we've been doing prior to service. Those of you that are watching on Facebook, we've been having prayer in this worship. This is what we've been doing. We've been binding those things that don't belong with us. Amen? Amen? To bind means to forbid. So those things that are forbidden in heaven, we have the ability to bind here on earth. Amen. And only the things that can be given in heaven, we can loose on earth. Say, I have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You have those keys to do exactly what Scripture is laying out here. See, Jesus in these transitional scriptures is trying to lay out to the believers, listen, it's not the same that it used to be. For I, Jesus Christ, have come on scene, and I'm turning the tables. You don't have to go to a priest anymore to have your requests known. For I am the high priest, and you as an individual are a priest. And you as an individual, because I intercede for you, Jesus Christ, you can now go directly to the throne room of God and make your requests known. And the way that it was designed back when Adam and Eve first walked the earth before the fall, I have now given back to you all authority, the same authority that they had. Far much greater authority than we ourselves can ever even fully imagine. But he's trying to lay it out so that we can see this. So verse 15, I'll read that again. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And then Peter answers him. Now first, going back to verse 13 there, Jesus says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You notice that in some parts of Scripture it says the Son of Man, and then other parts of Scripture it says the Son of God? See, the Son of Man lays out, the Son of is depicting from what you come from. So Son of Man is Jesus fully in humanity, but the Son of God, Son of, depicts where he comes from, the deity. So in the beginning, who do the people say the Son of Man is, meaning the man of natural? Who do they say I am? And they're saying, man, you're this prophet and all this stuff because you're doing all this really cool stuff. And then it's revealed, no, it's not the humanity of you that I see, it's the deity of you that I see. And now he's the Son of God declared by Peter. But going on, I just wanted to make this note. In verse 15, when he asked that question, you see, when Jesus says, who am I to you? you need to have a very specific response. And so my question for you today would be is, what is your response with that same question asked? Who am I to you, Jesus is saying? Is he your way maker? Is he your chain breaker? Is he the I am for your I can? What is he to you? Is he your salvation, your hope, your high tower? Is he your all in all? Is he the way, the truth, and life? Is he your door through salvation? What is he to you? Or is he all of that to you? Is he your friend? Is he the power living inside of you? Is he the anointed one that lives in you, that gives you an anointed? Did you know if Jesus Christ lives in you, each and every one of you are anointed? Every one of you are anointed. Meaning every one of you have the ability to walk with the power of God. Every single one of you. You see, when I'm talking about growing in Christ next level, I'm talking about an understanding that who you are in Christ. And it's not only the fact of who you are in Christ, but who Christ is in you. Because it's a full package deal. Amen. So, Jesus asked the question, and Peter answers him. And he answers him in a way where he knew that he knew. And so I come up to this understanding. You see, Peter wasn't a Christian. He was following Christ, but they didn't have the name Christian at that time. They were believers. Amen? They believed and he saw what Jesus was doing. And so another challenge that I would lay out before all of us is that we need to quit acting like Christians and start acting like believers. We need to get our minds conformed, transformed to understanding that we walk a life of belief, that our faith is based on belief, that the power of Christ that lives in us is through our belief. And we need to believe in the power of God that lives in us. In other words, it's not just a hope of like a wish, but it's an absolute fact that, you know what? As a child of God, cancer doesn't belong in your life. It has no place in a heavenly realm. And you're a child of heaven. I say that again. It has no place in a heavenly realm, and you're a child of heaven. Do you see? We get conflicted and we get afflicted with all kinds of things that take place in life. But we have authority over that. You see, things like headaches and disease and illness and poverty doesn't have to exist in your life because that doesn't exist in heaven. We gotta say that again. Do you see that you're a heavenly being here on earth? That was actually a prophetic word that was spoken out today, this morning. Do you remember that? Out back here. We're not of this world. And Scripture tells us that. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Which means if we're not of this world, but that means we're that of the kingdom of God. Cancer don't belong, illness don't belong, sickness don't belong, poverty don't belong, depression don't belong, anxiety don't belong, worry don't belong in the kingdom of God. We need just a second for that to sink in. That doesn't belong in the kingdom of God. So where do you live? If you live in the kingdom of God, which is what we're told, as believers, right? Then in the kingdom of God, all of the worry, anxiety, and all that stuff, that doesn't belong because that's not in heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? Heaven is right here. Heaven on earth is a prayer that we pray. It was the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was laid out. Jesus was showing them this is what is to come. and he died, was resurrected, and sits at the right hand of the Father. It has come now because the Holy Spirit is here. Do you see, you're a heavenly creature, you're a heavenly being because you got the Spirit of God living in you. And because you're a heavenly being and a heavenly creature, all of the junk of the world doesn't belong in you. Amen. It doesn't belong around you, it doesn't have to affect you.
Amen.
You see, you can worry because you are man, human. But don't forget the deity part of you. Because the Holy Ghost that lives in you is 100% God in you. So those things that are not of God don't belong in you. Maybe you're sitting here going, yeah, but how does that all work? Talk to your Father. When you have serious questions, ask Him. Because He will give you the answer. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand why I was diagnosed with this. I don't understand why I'm feeling this right now. Let me know, God. Why is this taking place right now? Press in to Him. His shoulders are big enough and He can handle it. Press in to Him and ask Him. And He'll reveal to you. So I'm reading in here. Where is it? Simon Peter, verse 16, answered and said to Jesus Christ, Thou art the Son of God. Okay. Jesus answered and said unto him. So he asked a question. He got an answer. Jesus responds back to Peter and said, You didn't get this on your own, not from flesh and blood, but it was revealed to you by my Father which is in heaven. And here you go, verse 18. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Okay. When you know who God is, when you know who Jesus Christ is, when you individually, when you personally know who Jesus Christ is, He will then reveal to you who you are. As a pastor, I hear this all the time, and it's a sad thing. I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I'm saved. I don't know, I knew I was saved, but I got to make sure I continue to do the work so I stay saved. When you know who Jesus Christ is, He will reveal to you who you are. I think, I'm not sure if you're understanding that. When you know that you cannot be separated from the love of God through Jesus Christ, Romans 8:39, when you know who He is, He will reveal to you who you are. I am the child of the Most High Living God. I am the head and not the tail. I am victorious. I am His beautiful creation. There is no other me out there. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's a purpose and a reason for me. When you know who He is in your life, who is Jesus Christ to you? Is He just a name in a book and you come to church based on tradition and religion? Or is He a living friend that lives with you? You cannot be separated from Him. Even when you don't feel like He's around, He's there. You're never alone. Christ in you. Christ did not just die for you. I said this the other night in my Bible study. But He died as you. You see, over 2,000 years ago when He hung on that cross, Jesus Christ died, yes, as Jesus Christ, but He also died as you in our place. He hung on the cross for you. When you know who He is, He will reveal to you who you are. He is my Savior, my all in all, my everything, my reason for breath, the thing that keeps me going in hard times and in good times. He is the final authority over everything that takes place in my life. He is the go-to individual at every single turn in my life. He died as you. Personalize it. Stephanie, you hung on the cross. Randy, you hung on the cross. Mike, you hung on the cross. Brian, you hung on the cross. We all have hung on the cross, but we didn't have to suffer that penalty because he did it for us. If Christ is in you, then all of heaven is attracted to the Jesus in you. You living your life out day in and day out. If Jesus Christ is in you, then all of heaven is attracted to the Jesus in you. And so when you walk out your daily life every single day, you need to know that you're walking with the presence and the power of heaven itself everywhere you go. That's why when you sin, God isn't looking upon you because you're already covered by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You've already got the privileges of heaven. You've already received the inheritance of that heavenly blessing and that heavenly promise. See, one of those cheesy things is that problems are just possibilities in heaven. Anything that you're dealing with, I heard it this way also. If you need a miracle, it's because there's one available. And you have the ability to walk in that. Do you allow your problems in life to be bigger than your Jesus? Do you see, when we get focused on our issues, it steals away our focus on who He is in our life. And now all of a sudden, your issues become bigger than everything else that's laid out before you. And now we become our issues instead of who we are in Christ Jesus. You see, it goes back to that question. When you know who He is, He will tell you who you are. When you know who He is, He will tell you who you are. You aren't the individual that has to stay in misery. You aren't the individual who has to be emotionally broke, financially broke, spiritually broke. You don't have to be, because you are greater than that in Him. Because poverty is not a part of heaven. Amen. And you're a heavenly child. Amen. You see, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But did you know it's not this? It's not a head thing to the heart thing. It's the other way around. It's the heart to the head. We have to get it in here, and it will be released up here. The Spirit of God lives in here, not in your mind. The soulish realm is your mind. The Spirit of God rests in here. When we get this right, this aligns and gets this right. So when you know who He is, He will reveal to you who you are. You see, when you know who He is, it gets into here, and now we understand who we are in our thinking. This gets right, but only after this is right. Thank you. Yes. And when this is right, and you allow this to be a part of your life, I heard it this way. I heard that your spirit that is filled and part of it's filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Wears your soul like a coat. Is protected by your soulish realm. The soulish realm is connected to the world. The spiritual realm is never a part of the world. You need to hear what I just said. Your spirit is never a part of the world, only the soul. That's why the spirit has to be aligned first, so that the soul connected to the spirit is the thing that's leading versus the soul, the spirit or the soul that's connected to the world that's leading.
Good word.
So when we have this ruling our life, then the soulish realm is connected with that and lives a life in accordance to a heavenly child.
Good.
This is the thing that gives us that confidence to lay hands on the sick and watch them be healed. And to step out of our comfort zone. God loves impossible situations. Anybody ever been in an impossible situation?
Amen.
You ever been in that situation where you're like, God, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work out. I have no clue how it's going to work out. But the coolest and most adventurous thing is to go, but I know you're in charge. And I know all things work to good who are called to those according to the word of God, right? Is that just words? Or is that a promise? Do you see, that's a promise. Romans 8:28.
Yes, sir.
That's not just writing on paper. That is a promise to the believers.
Yes,
all things work to good for those who are called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. God likes impossible situation because that gives him a reason to show out. That gives him the ability to show how amazing he is in your life.
Amen.
He likes the impossible situations. Why not let him into yours?
Good.
See, every time we have an impossible situation and we start trying to figure it out with our own mind, I don't know how this is going to work out. Stop. He does. Quit trying to figure it out on your own. Involve your Father. Your Father. Your Father. Not God separated. God with us and in us. Your Father. See, when you know who he is, he will tell you who you are. If you're in Christ, then all of your circumstances are too.
Good. Yep.
Every single thing going on in your life is already in Christ.
Yes, sir.
He's involved in it. Even when you don't feel like he is, he's involved in it. He's right there with you. You see, in our humanity, we try to figure out so many things on our own. But we're doing ourselves a disservice because we've got promises that are laid out before us that we aren't even grabbing hold of. We kind of just let it go by the wayside, not looking at it because we allow the circumstances of this world to entangle us. But if we're in Christ, he's right in the midst of them, and we can't forget that. Question to y'all, is anything too hard for the Lord? No?
No.
So involve him in your issues.
Yeah.
And you're walking with him, and he's in you. Huh. Isn't that really cool? Once we really start to get this, when we really start to go, oh, huh, I am not doing none of this by myself. Everything that I do, I am doing with the best part of me. And the best part of me, now Stephanie, you are my better half. But the best part of me is the God that lives in me. Because it's the God that lives in me that gives me the ability to be the light in the midst of darkness. It's the God that lives in me that gives me the ability to press through any challenge or circumstance, problem that there is. It's the God that's in me that gives me the joy when nobody else has it, or peace when there is none around. The better part. If you can't be separated from the love of God, then neither can your circumstances be separated from the power of God. If you cannot be separated from the love of God, which we're told, right, in Romans 8, 38 and 39, nothing can separate us from the love of God, no height nor depth, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If we can't be separated from the love of God, then neither can his power be separated from our circumstances.
Yes.
New way of thinking on things.
Yeah.
Or maybe you've already got it, but maybe it's just time to stir it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Stir it up. Stir it up. I love the reports. 17 tumors. We have to do a bunch of MRIs because all of a sudden we can't find them anymore. Yeah. That's because that man was not separated from the love of God, and neither was the circumstance of those tumors.
Amen.
From the power of God.
Amen.
But that's in every one of us.
Everyone.
That's in every one of us.
Yes.
The power of God lives in you because you're a heavenly being filled with the power of God. And I close with this and this final saying. You don't always have to know everything, but you're with somebody who sees everything. We fill ourselves with grief unneedily. There's no reason for us as believers to continually be filled with despair and grief. Verse 19 of the scriptures in Matthew 16, verse 19. Verse 19 says that God gave Peter, and upon Peter, he built his church, right? Who's the church?
We are.
We inherit everything, all of that. As the church, we've inherited all this. The keys to the kingdom of heaven have been given to us. Amen? And with those keys, we've been given the ability to bind whatever is forbidden in heaven, we can bind on earth. And we've been given the ability to loose those things that are allowed in heaven, we can loose on earth. So today, in your circumstances, in the things that are going on in your life, you need to be binding every day, if you have to, every moment. You need to be binding those things that are forbidden in heaven. Ask yourself, is despair allowed in heaven? No, then bind it on earth because you've been given authority. Is hopelessness allowed in heaven?
No.
Then bind it on earth. Is illness in heaven?
No.
Then bind it on earth. Is joy allowed in heaven?
Yes.
Then loose it on earth.
Yes.
Is peace allowed in heaven?
Yes.
Then loose it on earth.
Yes.
Does any of that make sense?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Let's close in prayer. Father, we know that the greatest thing that we can do is come to you and ask you to be Lord of our life. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the corporate power of agreement, Lord. I thank you for the God that lives in us through your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that we walk as anointed individuals because we're a part of Christ Jesus. I thank you that you've delivered us and you've set us free. Father, I pray that, Father, deep within us, your Spirit, Father, would speak to our minds and that we would see ourselves as heavenly beings, that we would see ourselves already in that place of authority and of anointing. Father, I pray that if there is anyone that's going to watch this or has watched it right now, that, Father, they don't know you, I pray that they would receive the greatest gift of all, and that's coming to the place where they know who you are, Jesus, so that you can reveal to them who they are. Your child, fully inheriting every promise that you've ever given. So Father, I thank you right now for my brothers and sisters that those promises are yes and amen, that those promises are here and available right now. I thank you, Father, for divine health upon this body, divine breakthrough, prosperity. Father, I just speak into the heavenlies right now, suddenlies to take place. Every desire, Father, your word says that, Father, that when we delight ourselves in you, you give us the desires of our heart. So, Father, I thank you that we delight in you and every desire be met and fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I lift up that wayward individual that, Father, has run from you. I call him back into the kingdom of God. Father, we declare right now and thank you that there is no distance, no separation to the power of our prayer, Father, for you hear it right now. So we speak to the child, Father, that's walked away. We speak to the adult that's walked away. We speak to the one that doesn't know you, and we say, the doors are open, come on in. Father, come and meet a living God, the living Son, Jesus Christ, of a living God. Father, we give you praise and glory for your hand of divine appointment upon your children and who they are in you, in Jesus' name. All in agreement said,
Amen.
God bless you.